The Gospel reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
And all at once, "You are the one I have been waiting for. King of my heart, body, and soul." Wisdom there from the 21st century psalmist, St. Taylor of Swift. This morning, I want us to think about the question, who is the king of my heart? Who is the king of my heart? I wonder what comes to mind when you think about the word king. For some of us, it might be Martin Luther King, that great American activist. Maybe some of you, if you think with your stomach like me, might go to Burger King. A little closer to home. Well, actually, probably not quite as close to home. You might think of our own Queen, Queen Elizabeth. But I wonder if any of you thought about Kanye West. Probably not. Now, Kanye West has just brought out an album called Jesus is King. If you don't know who Kanye West is, he is a rapper and songwriter who has sold over 140 million records and was listed by Time magazine as one of the 100 most influential people on the planet. Someone with that influence has just released a record called Jesus is King. How cool is that? And I wonder if any of us, when we think about kings, like Kanye, our mind goes straight to Jesus. In our reading from the book of Luke, one of the biographies of Jesus' life, Jesus has been hung on the cross, crucified, and the soldiers doing this have put a sign on the cross saying, "This is the King of the Jews." And then a criminal who's been crucified with him is mocking Jesus and says, "If you are the King of the Jews, then why not save yourself?" But then another criminal being crucified with him says, "Don't you know who you're talking to?" And then turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, the word kingdom isn't one that we use that much these days, really, especially outside of the church. fairy tales and if we're talking about the UK. So what is a kingdom? Well, we live in one. We live in the United Kingdom, although it doesn't always feel very united, does it? But why is the UK a kingdom? It's because it is ruled over by a king, or in our case, a queen. A kingdom is ruled over by a king or queen. Now, in our society, kings and queens are, they're a lot like figureheads, really, aren't they? A lot of kings and queens don't really have that much power and influence anymore because we have governments and parliaments to make decisions for us. But at the time when Jesus was crucified, kings were really kings. They were the ones who had the final word. What they said went. The buck stopped with them. What they willed was obeyed. And their kingdoms were the places where their will was obeyed. Wherever people were obedient to the king, that was the kingdom. Now, back in Southend, where Amy and I used to live, there's this place called Kids' Kingdom. Some of you might have heard of it, but you might not. Now, Kids' Kingdom was like this enormous, inflatable play. It was so cool. It was a warehouse, and it was full of ball pits and blow-up things and walls that you could run at and jump at, and it wouldn't even hurt that much. And it was amazing. I love Kids' Kingdom. My youth group used to love Kids' Kingdom as well. They did teen nights. And right in the middle of Kids' Kingdom, there was this big inflatable hill called Jelly Mountain. And it seemed really, really big when I was a kid. But now it's probably only a little bit taller than me. But we used to run at it and try to clamber up it so that we could be the one to stand on the top of Jelly Mountain and think to ourselves, I'm the king of the castle. I'm on top of Jelly Mountain. Kids' Kingdom was just this this whirlwind of children running around, having the time of their lives, doing what they wanted. The kids were the kings. The kids were in charge. And that is why it was their kingdom, Kids' Kingdom. In the Bible, there's quite a lot of talk about kingdoms, some of you might know. And one kingdom in particular, the kingdom of God, is sometimes referred to as the kingdom of heaven. In Jewish society, at the time when the Bible was written, some Jews thought that God was so holy that we couldn't even use the word God. And so in place of God, they sometimes use the word heaven, which can actually be a bit misleading. So when you see the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, think the kingdom of God, sometimes called the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of light, and a few other names as well. But this kingdom, unlike the UK, unlike Kids' Kingdom, isn't a place. The kingdom of God isn't just another word for heaven. The kingdom of God is wherever God rules, wherever God reigns. Now, in 2005, a British comedian called Danny Wallace tried to start a country. Does any of you see it on the telly? It might come back to you. So Danny Wallace declared himself king of his flat in Bow in East London. It's like a little flat. And he declared himself king and called it the Kingdom of Lovely, which is a nice name if you're going to start a new country. He invented a currency for it called the IOU. I think it's the Interdependent Occupational Unit, whatever that means. Sounds painful. He tried and ultimately failed to enter Eurovision. He was told that he needed his own broadcasting corporation. And he even went to the United Nations to ask for their recognition. Now, the UN ultimately told him to go away and don't be so daft. And I think they did that with good reason. Because you can't just proclaim yourself king and have a kingdom like that. History shows us that people only really establish a kingdom when people are willing to follow the king, when people are willing to obey, to swear allegiance, to respect someone as their king. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't think many people are going to swear allegiance to Danny Wallace and his lovely East London flat, as lovely as it might be. And even normal kings, rightful kings, we might say, and queens don't automatically get their way. They don't automatically earn the trust and respect of the people that live in their kingdom. They do have to earn it in order to establish their kingdom. Now, Jesus is king. Jesus is always going to be king, whether we realise that or whether we don't. But if Jesus' kingdom is going to be established, then that involves us treating him as king. There's no king more deserving of being a king than Jesus. He created the world. He brought us into being. He's brought us healing. He's cast out demons. He cared for the poor and the oppressed. He gave up his life for us and rose again from the dead. He sent his Holy Spirit and now reigns at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But what did we do? Did we accept him, celebrate him, crown him? No. What did we do? We crucified him. We rejected him, the most rightful king, and we rejected him. Even the King of Kings doesn't just get his kingdom like that. The kingdom of God is wherever we choose to follow Jesus, wherever we choose to do his will, to surrender our life to him, to swear allegiance to him, to treat him as the king that he is. The kingdom of God comes when we make Jesus the king of our hearts. The thief on the cross next to Jesus said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus comes into his kingdom when we treat him like the king he is. Jesus' kingdom comes in this world when the world becomes more and more like the place it would be if God's will were done. Jesus' kingdom grows when more and more people make Jesus the king of their hearts. That's why I haven't got one up here. That's why we've given you each them names to pray for, that 1102, them Alpha leaflets. Because when people come to Alpha, they get to hear the good news about Jesus. And when people hear the good news about Jesus, people want to make him the king of their hearts. And the kingdom grows. Jesus told us that you can't serve two masters. There's such wisdom. We can't have two kings. And that means that if we're to make Jesus the king of our hearts, it means that other things aren't the king of our hearts. When the New Testament was written, when Jesus was physically on earth, in that part of the world, it was under Roman occupation. And if you were in an area of Roman occupation, at any given time, you could be required to say that Caesar, the king of the Roman Empire, is king. You could be required to say Caesar is king. And before long, the first Christians realized that if Jesus was their king, they couldn't say Caesar is king. They had this real conundrum. They had to not say the thing that ensured their safety, their protection, in order to make Jesus their king. Now, I very much doubt that any of us, in order to follow Jesus, are going to have to stop swearing allegiance to a Roman emperor, though do tell me if I'm wrong. But we might have to demote some things in our lives, things that rule our lives, in order to put Jesus on top. If Jesus is the king, if the king of our hearts even is the thing we let rule our lives, then for some of us, the king of our hearts is ourselves. Nice crown. If the king of our hearts is ourselves, then I get to choose my own destiny. I'm a self-made man. It's all about me. I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm the king of my heart. I'm the ruler, the sovereign of my life. Maybe for some of us, Instagram is the king of our hearts. I haven't got a big enough phone to put a crown on, so we're going to have it sideways. Maybe Instagram or Facebook or Netflix, whatever you use, is the king of your heart. Maybe it's the first thing you see in the morning, the last thing you see at night. Maybe you go out of your way, you go places just so you can get that Instagram selfie and get the likes. Maybe that's what rules your life. Maybe for some of us, money is the rule of our life. You won't find much in here, if I'm entirely honest. But maybe money rules our lives. Maybe money dictates what we do with our time. Maybe money makes us work and work and work because we need more and more and bigger cars and bigger houses and flashier watches or whatever it is we spend our money on. But if Jesus is the king of our hearts, and it means that money isn't the king of our heart. If Jesus is the king of our hearts, it means Instagram and whatever else is on our phones isn't the king of our heart. And if Jesus is the king of our hearts, then it means we aren't the king of our own hearts. We need to make Jesus the one who wears the crown. Jesus needs to be the king of our hearts. Now, I know that them things can be really hard to put in their place. I find it hard. I find it hard to, when I wake up in the morning, to click on my Bible in 1 year app and not Instagram right next to it. I find that hard. And these things take time. We need the Spirit to help us to do these things, to put Jesus in the right place. If Jesus is our King, then we surrender to Him. We let Him reign and rule in our lives. The idea of surrender might seem crazy. Do we just lose control? Are we swayed by anything if we relinquish being the king of our own lives? I don't believe that we are. I think that when we make Jesus the king of our hearts, instead of being out of control, we are held in the safest pair of hands that we ever could be. Jesus is the one person that we can trust to be the king of our hearts. And I've just got three brief reasons why I think we should make him just that. Why make Jesus our king? Well, first, because Jesus is a king who cares. I don't know if any of you have ever met a king or a queen or royalty, but most of us never will. Kings and queens can seem distant, can't they? High and mighty and far too important for little me. Unrelatable, unreachable. How could one person care about everyone in their kingdom? Could they possibly? But the kingdom of God is unlike any other kingdom. It's a kingdom where the king really does care about every individual, every one of us, just as we are. It's a strange kingdom. It's a kingdom where the king is a servant, where the creator of life dies, where the weak are made strong, where the poor are rich, where the oppressed are blessed. Amy told us last week that in the upside down, inside out kingdom of God, obedience makes us free. It's a kingdom like no other. In Paul's letter to the church he planted in Colossae in Turkey, it says, God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' kingdom isn't a kingdom of tyranny or death or fear. He's not a dictator. He's a king who loves us. And his kingdom is a kingdom of love, light, and life. Jesus isn't like the kings and the leaders of this world. Jesus is a king who really, really cares about each of us as individuals, who loves us and always will. And so we can trust him to be the king of our hearts, knowing that all he asks of us is for our good, even if we don't understand it. And a lot of the time we don't. Letting Jesus reign in our lives is the best thing we can do for him, for the world, and for ourselves. So Jesus is a king who cares. Second reason we should make him the king of our hearts is because Jesus is a king who can. You might hear lots of promises being made at the moment, especially by politicians or people knocking on your door, perhaps. It might be something like, if you elect me, I will cancel taxes, quadruple funding for schools and hospitals, wipe out world poverty, and give every family a puppy. But do the kings of this world, the leaders of this world, really have the power, the ability, the resources to deliver on all them promises? I don't think we're getting puppies, everyone. But Jesus makes some pretty bold promises, doesn't he? In his 3-year ministry manifesto, he promises to forgive our sins, to heal us, to renew us, to make us sons and daughters of God. In our reading from Luke, Jesus promises the criminal on the cross next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Wow, that's a big promise, frankly, from a dying guy. It's a big promise. How could Jesus possibly deliver on such big promises? How could we trust him? We can trust him because he created the world. We can trust him because we've seen him at work in our lives. We've seen him work miracles. But ultimately, and most of all, we can trust him to deliver on his promises to us. Because 3 days after he was on that cross, dying, making the promise of eternal life to the thief next to him, he rose again to life. He rose from the dead. And if you can rise from the dead, if you can defeat death, then you can do anything. And you can deliver on all of the promises that you have made, no matter how bold they are. Jesus is a king who can. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Hebrews chapter 12 says that the kingdom of God is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In other words, it's sturdy, it's trustworthy. It's a kingdom we can trust, and we can trust Jesus to be the king of our hearts because he's a king who cares and a king who can. Third and finally, Jesus is a king who calls. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of kings, the King of the Jews, Lord of all, Lord of lords. He sits on the throne in heaven, and his kingdom shall have no end. We're told that every knee will bow before the King. Jesus is King, the King over all kings. But even though Jesus is the rightful King of everything, he doesn't force his kingdom on us. He didn't force his kingdom on us and invade our hearts by force. But he asks, he calls. He calls with urgency, he calls with conviction, because he knows that making Jesus our king is the best thing we can do. But he calls with care and with love. Jesus teaches us to pray. I mentioned earlier, "Your kingdom come." Your kingdom come means, "Lord, have your way in my life. Reign over me. Be the king of my heart." So Jesus is a king who cares, a king who can, and a king who calls us to make him the king of our hearts. I think it's really interesting that straight after Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come," he says to pray, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." We sometimes fall into a trap of imagining that the kingdom of God is some magical faraway place that we fly away to one day to escape this dreadful place where we are now. But it's not. That's maybe the gospel according to Hollywood and what we might see in movies. But it's not the truth. The truth is that the kingdom of God isn't about evacuation, but transformation. It's not about escaping away to a kingdom, but making this world we are in the kingdom. We pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven." We need to transform every aspect of this world to reflect the reality that Jesus is king. But it starts with our hearts. We need to make Jesus the king of our hearts. And we can do that here and now, on Ipswich, on earth as in heaven. It'd be great if the worship band would love to come up and can start praying. Shall we all stand together as we're going to pray? We're going to pray together. It may be this morning that you felt something shift. You felt God speak to you in some way this morning. And you might want to make Jesus the king of your hearts for the first time. And if you want to make Jesus the king of your hearts for the first time, that's just the most amazing thing. I'd encourage you to mark that precious moment this morning. Maybe there's some of us here who we know we've made something other than Jesus the king of our hearts. Maybe we know there's something that rules us, that controls us. And we, this morning, want to put Jesus back where he belongs. And we'd love to pray for you too. We'd love to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do that, to help you to put Jesus in his rightful place. It'd be great. Prayer ministry team, would you guys come forward? And if you're in either of them categories, if you want to make Jesus the king of your heart for the first time, if you want to put him back in the place, if you want prayer for something that's in the place Jesus should be in, why don't you be bold? Why don't you mark the moment and come forward and be prayed for? Maybe you might want to do that, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the King of Kings. Thank you that you are Lord over all, that you reign over all, Lord. And we pray your kingdom come, Jesus, your kingdom come in this place, in every heart. And Holy Spirit, would you come and fall in this place? Holy Spirit, would you help us to make Jesus the King of our hearts? Let's just wait on the Spirit for a moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Might be somebody struggling with addiction, where whatever that addiction is to is ruling your life at the moment. And I believe that Jesus wants to cast that out and say, no, I'm going to be the king of your life. If that's you, you might want to get prayed for at some point. If God's tugging on your heart, why not come and get prayed for during this next song? Maybe with all our eyes closed, if you've prayed that for the first time, made Jesus the king of your heart this morning, or if you've put him back in that place, with all our eyes closed, why don't you just raise a hand? I'd love to know if God's working in someone's life this morning. Thank you. So why don't we worship the king together? Make him the king of our hearts this morning. Thank you.